Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. A quick react to the Chiefs. I'll try to make it a quicker react as well. I did this once and I went an hour. So the loss to the Cowboys. Honestly, after the Cowboys came back from 20-1 to nothing, I realized, okay, I must be missing something here. So then I, okay, understood. Okay, the defense is much better. They were infamously bad earlier in the year, particularly the defensive backs. The Quinnen Williams inside presence has helped a lot. They've gotten some guys back. They're playing significantly better in most facets, particularly against a run. And so trade deadline had an effect as well, and so on and so forth. I mean, overall, it had an effect. So then I thought to myself, okay, I'm fully prepared for this Chiefs team to lose. It's totally seeable. When Rashee Rice came back and said, okay, now this explosive offense, now it's going to be the Chiefs that are scary as heck. I would have told you, you would have been high to think that the Chiefs would have lost to the Cowboys. But we've seen then that they've just decided to shelve the explosive offense. So this is mostly a postmortem. I'll lead up front to say it's interesting because now everything's bonus. Basically, you can't get into the playoffs unless you win 5 games in a row. So I expect to lose at least one game on the way we've been playing, multiple others. The only good thing is a lot of them are at home, including the games against certainly the two division rivals that are the most concerned, but then definitely, I can't remember if the Raiders game is also at home, but at least the Chargers and the Broncos are. But if we win one, that's just bonus. If we win a second in a row, it's just bonus because we're basically out of the playoffs without a strong run. So really, in order to even be in the playoffs, they have to totally turn this team around from a team that is not a 500 team. Right now, this team is a 500 team, and it's for a very damn good reason. DeMarcus, who does the previews with me, was actually concerned about the defense today. I'm like, bro, they've only been holding us down for 3 years. This is easily the best receiving core, okay? Easily. And Dak's a good quarterback in the pocket, in rhythm, in the play call. Right now, I would take him easily over Patrick. Now, some of that's going to be affected. That's going to seem like sacrilege over the fact that the Chiefs are never in design. That's the point. And that's part of the problem. We'll get to that. But I would say right now, all I'm saying that is to emphasize that that offense in design is much better than the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a bad offense. A bad offense. And they've looked worse and worse the last 4 years, particularly a horrific offense. 4 weeks, rather. And it's just based on scrambles. So I'm going to give you two stats that are going to help solidify this. First of all, did you watch the game? How many times did you see, okay, once you have an eye on how is our passing offense, the first thing you look at is go, where are the passes? And then you go, oh, we drop back and there are no passes. He pokes around, looks around like he suddenly doesn't know football. This is Patrick. And then scrambles. He scrambles. Or even if he doesn't scramble, he takes long enough that clearly this is no longer the given routes. Okay, there was something that Dak learned about 3 years ago. And he learned the idea of traditional offense before he got all this RPO crap and didn't teach college quarterbacks anything because we were so worried about, oh, they got athleticism too. There was a precision to traditional offenses. I don't mean old man on porch. I'm just going to point this out for distinction that the whole idea is by the time you get to the back of the pocket, there's one throw right there as soon as you look. And then you bounce, and there's the second throw. The timing of the play of the design is that bounce, then the second read is there. Bounce, the third read is there. Bounce, the fourth read is there. And so you're looking to see, what does Patrick have? First of all, the fact that there is no drop back in shotgun does probably affect that. But yeah, maybe someone's supposed to be open immediately, or he's supposed to get the ball and bounce in place. I don't know. But you saw him get the ball, Patrick, and just look, and nobody's open. And then even when he didn't scramble or bail, he still held it long enough that was clearly not the read. Okay, it was something beyond the read. Okay, I'm going to tell you two different stats that are very important as you understand and remember to kind of orient yourself. Yes, you do remember seeing this today against Dallas. Maybe outside the first two drives that were, successful, because I was in Thanksgiving mode and was not paying attention close to that. But right after those first two drives, at the very least, you saw down to the back, release to back, bail, scramble. And for the most part, you saw after the first two drives, any real successful play, almost all of them, not all of them, but overwhelmingly successful plays were on scrambles. So what I'm telling you now is that the offense is bad. The play calling is bad. There's a few different aspects to this, but I want to tell you, and specifically the pass play calling, the routes, the play, the play that is the combination of routes. It's really bad. So somehow they're not getting receivers open. That's a near impossibility, considered like how Rashee Rice carved up a playoff field 2 years ago and was on the route in that kind of last half season where he got hot to be like a 1,700-yard guy. Okay? And then it's also nearly impossible when he comes back, suddenly they look like they're on fire. And that lasts for about two games. And then it's like the receiving core's no better. Like literally the receiving core doesn't look better in any kind of a design play. So, two different stats I want you to think about after orienting yourself and remembering, how many times was there a successful design, got the hike, sitting there, boom. How many truly successful plays were there even at all tonight? There were a handful, maybe. Most of them were releases. Most of them were Patrick looking around like a dumbass. Like the offense had never called an NFL game before. And that nobody could get open. Okay, so now I'm going to throw two stats, because I started watching this a week or two ago. They go, what the hell are they doing with routes? And it might have been because I heard one of these two stats or the other. One, Patrick leads the league, and this was before this week, on combined scramble plus pass yards. Okay? Two, he is number one. It's probably an efficiency thing. The ranking's probably efficiency or, you know, not efficiency, but just rating. Patrick is number one against zone defenses and 19th against man-to-man defenses. They mention this also coming into this game because Dallas tends to play zone. Okay, now also remember, Dallas has gotten better, but they're not considered world beaters. So number one against zone that they tend to play, and only 19th against man-to-man. Why don't you think about both of those? I'm going to give you a little time to think about why the hell there would be a difference. Now I want you to think about again why the hell there would be a difference, and if there was a difference, why would it contribute towards a poor performance and a bad record, a 500 record, usually teetering under 500, one game behind, or even more than one game behind. So think about that zone and man-to-man deal. First against zone, 19th against man-to-man. So barely in front of the bottom third, right? So first, leading the league in total scramble yards, passing plus rushing. Okay, does that mean he's successful? No, nobody said he was leading in efficiency. It's the yards. So what is the main driver of that? When he scrambles, do you see him on the regular just throw these incredibly successful 40-yarders or 30-yarders or 25-yarders? No. So that's not skewing the statistics. What it really is he is scrambling a lot. Okay. I want you to think. What's my hypothetical here? The play calling sucks, particularly on passing. Particularly the passing game is awful. All right? Okay. What'd I just tell you? His scrambling yards total, rushing plus passing, leads the league. When do you scramble? When do you scramble? When the given offense, the given play does not work. That's the definition of scrambling, right? So if his yards are led by the amount of repetitions he has to do to scramble, then that's telling you the regular offense is not working. Now, and I know their record isn't as good this year. Would Jared Goff ever lead the league in scramble yards plus scramble yards combined passing, scrambling, and running scrambling? No. 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 So you can go look up further, but I'm telling you that's a major problem. Because if your scramble leading is based on the fact that you are scrambling so many times, then that means your offense isn't working. It doesn't matter all the minute details. It doesn't matter, oh, well, sometimes he doesn't have protection. Well, first of all, we've had better protection this year. Yes, in some games, obviously there's better defensive lines and so on and so forth. But what is a proper offense supposed to do when that happens? They're supposed to have an answer, which is a quick passing game, right? In every single down and situation, a good offense calls the appropriate plays that are supposed to provide yardage within the design of the play. Now, you can say maybe Patrick's bailing out too much. Sure, that's some percentage, but that's not leading the league in scramble passing yards plus scramble rushing yards. That's not that. So the first indicator that this passing offense is absolute shit, besides the eye test of how is he not getting the ball out on in very important drives, how are we going YOLO, scramble, bullshit, in four important games in a row, only one of which we won. So if your eye test is not telling you that, then you didn't notice that he's scrambling a lot and just putting up prayers, then that stat tells you. This is him leading the league in scramble yards before this game, where after the first two drives is all I can really account for sure, but where after the first two drives, it looked like about three-fourths of his yardage was on scrambles, maybe more. Okay? Now, so that tells you your play calling is not working. It's not there, and or the quarterback believes in it so low that he's not even doing it. Now, in previous years, I get that Patrick wanted to get to a bigger, more explosive offense. But you think he doesn't understand and appreciate the value of getting the ball down the field in a design quick way? Of course he does. He's won Super Bowls off of that. So he appreciates the value. You think he would just so massively abandon that to just scramble instead to turn into what looks like basically a rookie quarterback who doesn't understand the design plays, who has a playbook that's too simple, and so he ends up scrambling to try to be the hero? You really think that's what Patrick is doing? And or in that case, is that the parallel of a playbook too simple? Okay, now what was the other thing I told you? Against zone, he's number one. Against man-to-man, he's 19th, and or the Chiefs' passing game is in total, however you want to look at that. But that should be basically 100% Patrick, right? Therefore, what does that mean? How can that be that different? If your play calling is good, yes, I get that a quarterback should have a strength. But 19th versus first? How does that make sense? A, B, where could it make sense? You don't have guys who are fast. You don't have guys who are explosive. You don't have guys who are quick. Okay, I know Hollywood is not what he used to be, but his strength is quickness and speed, right? Okay, he's not slower than the average receiver. Xavier Worthy, I know his ankle's a little messed up and his legs in general, but he's not slower than the average player. Okay, he's clearly not playing super fast, but they're also not getting him routes in the right way. When's the last time you saw a route that was kind of a post where somehow the other routes cleared out somebody to beat somebody man-on-man with fast-on-fast or fast-on-slow? Rashee Rice is not a slow receiver. Not at all. And the successful stuff has been on that kind of crosser 45-degree route. Okay, so we understand that Travis, mostly a zone beater at this point, that's his strength. His strength is not to be some super fast tight end, because tight ends aren't super fast. His strength is to understand either spaces generally in a play or spaces specifically in a zone. All right, we know Rashid likes that. We know he's reported learning from Travis. But does it make sense that of that receiving core that I mentioned, plus Tyquan Thornton, that they should be bad against man? Bad against man? Just as an athletic ability, does that make sense to you? Now, I know that some people could press him at the line. I know that's true in man-to-man. But you can't work anything in that allows Tyquan Thornton, any three pass receivers in the league, you're not going to have anybody faster as a trio than Thornton plus Worthy plus Brown. And really, as a quad, if you add Rashee, you're not going to have a faster quad. You're going to have a faster potential duo and a faster single, but not a faster trio and a faster quad. And you're going to tell me that they're going to be much worse than average? I say much worse than average. I know, you know, 13th to 19th are probably kind of similar, but four spots away from average. Does that make sense to you? Or is it a play calling thing? Is it that where it works, even against zone, it might be the combination of what we're talking about? He scrambles. Because he scrambles, Patrick Rashee then finds a spot in the zone. Travis finds a spot in the zone. The other thing that this is reminds you of, but I'm not sure that this is a case, this is probably just an extension of play thing, is where almost no Patrick throws anymore ever catch a receiver straight in stride. When they do, they're significant. Some of the Rashee Rice ones, for instance. But so many of the downfield throws are go find a spot. Oh, the guy's coming to an open area. I can see that his guy is trailing him as he's trying to find an open area. And the other guy who might respond is nowhere near responding. I can throw it here to the safe spot. They can catch it in that spot and basically go nowhere, not have any momentum. So what we've seen specifically in the last 2 weeks, and I think far before then, is certainly against Denver. The receivers didn't give Patrick a chance. They didn't throw the quick crossers, the quick interruptions, the quick interference type routes that are close to pass interference. Of course, the last 2 years, the NFL wants me to believe that offensive pass interference that's never ever been called is now offensive pass interference. And they go straight to their NFL guy after Romo, who only played 12 or 13 years, goes, that's not offensive pass interference, and it has never been. But we go right to the source, the supposed NFL authority, and they go, nope, that's always been the case. No, it's not. And when they do, they don't say, no, that's an emphasis this year. It's never been the case. I'll get back to my original point. That just because you go towards your defensive back and the defensive back doesn't move and a guy to the inside of you works underneath you and to the outside, such that the defensive back who is not up on him just simply has to go to the top side of the receiver and defensive back coupling there that's there. He doesn't get ran into them because they're already right on each other and he's just trying to scrape on the bottom side of Travis. Nobody's running into each other. The defensive back has yards to decide whether to go underneath Travis to get to the guy or over the top of his defensive back that's on Travis. That has never, ever been offensive pass interference. Don't lie and tell me that it has. And 2 weeks in a row, the Chiefs have that call against them. I think this last time, Xavier Worthy, you know, because he's so bulky because he gets up on his guy and the defensive back has to go to the top side of Worthy's defender and the other guy's going underneath on his side of Travis. So neither guy is coming close to collision. It's never been even close to offensive pass interference if the defensive back isn't being run into near collision or actual collision. That's not how that's worked. That's not how it's ever worked. So the NFL's telling me a lie there. But back to what I was saying, against Denver, you just see who's really the team that's supposed to be the hardest to play against because of defensive pressure. You know, shades of 2015. You don't have time. And you look at the screen, which is not expanded out for some unknown reason, but you see about 4 yards of pass of scrimmage maybe. And all you see is guys just releasing straight downfield. Now, did they do something later? Maybe. But without the screens and without quick, you know, crossers of some kind, like even, for instance, this very simple concept. This is not difficult at all. Say Travis is on the inside, but separated a little bit. They got a receiver way on the outside. So they're separated by 6 yards. And the defensive backs are off of them. Okay, all you got to do is the outside guy does a little slant towards where Travis won't be in a second. That is, he'll be 5 yards down the field. And so your slant is 3 yards right behind Travis because your defender doesn't have a chance to respond to that. And you didn't see those calls. You saw the wide receivers disappearing off screen. In other words, a call that creates a long developing play compared to a high pressure rate of a defense. So if you want to lose a game, then just call shit routes. Just call stupid route trees. Just stupid route combinations. Or you can call big boy routes. And I'm going to mention this. Another Kansas City podcast said, what happened? Because you're going to think I'm just crazy or you haven't looked into it. Literally said about the Indy comeback, such as it was, just wow, we had a good quarter. I'm glad we won. We still have a chance. But overall, the game was highly disappointing on offense because, again, somehow we act like we don't have a good receiving core. When given one game to show our worth, and I think that was against a good team when Rasheed came back. Was that the Detroit game? But regardless, you know, this episode, this podcast says, hey, in the short comeback time, wow, they finally gave Rasheed and Xavier Worthy, and I'm quoting, big boy routes. Okay, so what am I saying there? That's like saying, we're not just going to give you the simple stuff. What did I just tell you? It's too simple. It's stupid. It's bad. So, this team is what it is, but what it is a team that plays horrible offense. So, if Patrick led the league in scramble yards total, when he scrambles, add up the rushing yards. When he scrambles, add up the passing yards. Then, all he's done is extend his lead. I know it's a Thursday game. But short of a guy who has no protection whatsoever. And people weren't on Patrick immediately in this game. He did get sacked. But more than one was him holding on, literally holding on to the ball too long. I'm going to add this one other thing, and this sounded a little bitter in the previous one. Is Patrick an advanced quarterback? Right now, he does not look like the 20th most advanced quarterback. Perfect example, I don't know, second and 25. No, now it's third and 19. Leaks out to the right and does not get rid of the ball. What? How does that make sense? Now, I'm going to give you a timeline. The truth of the matter is, this offense has gotten worse and worse and worse over a period of time, up to the very moment we're at, since Bieniemy left. Just stick with me, you losers who think only Andy matters. No, the combination matters. The combination must matter, or it wouldn't be so wildly different. So, in 2022, after they've lost Tyreek, but they still have Bieniemy, somehow, most yards from scrimmage. The culture, the detail, the complexity is there with lesser receivers. All right? I guarantee you that while efficiency-wise, Patrick probably led here or there or was near the top when scrambling, rating-wise when scrambling, but not total yards. That was not the usual in the successful years. And I'll go back even to just last year. It definitely was not the usual. In 2022, still the most yards from scrimmage ever for a quarterback without Tyreek Hill. Okay? Most of that was passing. He had another 5,000-yard season, I believe. And then, you know, whatever, he had another several hundred yards rushing or something. And so he got up to 5,400 or whatever it was, 5,450. I don't think he got to 5,500, but it could have been. But most of that's passing, which means he had a very successful passing season. It was another 4,900 or 5,000-yard season. He's had two up in that direction or two over 5,000. So that was still a complex offense with lesser pieces. All right? And that was with Bieniemy. Now, what happened almost immediately without Bieniemy? Okay, first year, he kind of had to watch your defensive backs get better throughout the year. That relied a bit on the defense. And then the second year, actually, that may have been the last one of Bieniemy. No. It might have been that we had a good offense, and then but still had Bieniemy, but our defensive backs did have to develop. But anyway, then the second year, defensive backs didn't have to develop, but Rashid developed. We won a Super Bowl. Still relies on defense at that point, but Rashid makes a run. We're resourceful. The year after, we go 15-2. We are 2 years removed from the Grim Reaper. You better not give the ball to them with 3.5 minutes left. They'll just milk it away. No, many times last year, it was the case that Patrick gave the ball right back. It's just that the defense had to hold and did hold almost always. Sometime they had to hold and did hold, and then Patrick got a second chance yet again and did something with it. Other times just that they had to hold to keep the lead. Or maybe Patrick just had to hold, now had a second chance to, you know, milk the clock after he couldn't milk the clock the first time. So last year and even the year before, a wildly defense-oriented source of success. This year, again, very much about the defense having to be the reason for the success, and particularly scramble plays. Except in just a couple of games, it's scramble plays. And even in the pocket, if you remember, there's this wild passing chart, I think against Buffalo, where I believe those were not scramble plays. In the pocket, he just threw it 35 yards down the field. This is all to say, starting with Nagy coming back, the offense started to get worse and got worse and got worse. And now it's the worst it's been. It's the worst it's been in since Alex Smith. And usually, Alex Smith offense, short of, can we have a hero scramble ball maybe here and there that Patrick will do, that's still scramble ball. Short of that, the Alex Smith offense looked better than the average of the last four games, easily, because the average of the last four games has looked like bottom seven offense football. Okay, we've lost three of those games. We've had about two quarters that were good in total. Two on offense. Without the defense against Indy, we're nowhere. We're already disappointed. The post-mortem happened last week, if not for the defense against Indy. The holding three out, three and out, three and out, three and out. And like, on three drives, something like 11, 15, 20 total yards. Okay, without them, we're not even having this conversation because the offense couldn't do anything except they continued to get more options. They continued to get another chance to do something. So, you know, but this offense is stale. It relies on scramble balls. And just, can we get it somewhere in the zone? Patrick is not even throwing well. It's easily the worst he's thrown. And I don't mean completion. I mean when in incompletions, just how far off they are. Again, in Patrick's first year, he would give it to people in stride. What if I just threw it to them on the side, on their side where they're in stride so they can keep running? Wouldn't that be a good idea? That would be a good idea, Patrick. Good job. Okay, I'll just do that then. What if I just throw it for 13 yards if I need 12? What if I just throw it for 11 when I need 10? What if I did that? Oh, that'd be a good idea, Patrick. Good one. Good idea. And now, even Patrick, some of scrambles out to the right don't look good. Where are the design rollouts? It's just an impossibly bad-looking offense in the last 4 weeks. There's a reason we've lost three of four. Because it's a bad offense with some good, okay, let's make a play somehow. And that's it. The offense has devolved almost in a direct line over 3 years. Almost in an exact direct line. It's awful now. It is literally awful offense. And I defy you, if you just look at the stats and go, look, he got 352 yards last week. It took overtime, okay? And Indy kept getting three and outs. So, yeah, we'll take it. But even that, I mean, that last little bit, it did look like it was actually out of the real offense and they called real plays out of the real offense. Against a better defense than the other 3 weeks. But that was a quarter and a half, or two, if you will, two quarters out of five. So, okay, we've had four games. We've had 17 quarters. And we've looked good for about three of them, maybe four. So it ain't good. And this is the post-mortem. And all we can hope is Patrick has some glimmer of a memory when the offense was easy and smooth and good, and that he insists upon change internally. So he's a professional enough of a guy. He's not going to make a fit in front of everybody. But there had better be changes at One Arrowhead Drive, because it's a bad, bad, bad offense. Oh, we finally let Xavier and Rashi do big boy routes. So what would you be waiting on? I don't even think we hardly had a juju moment today. So up 14-7, had a leads in both of those times, knowing you have to go get it. And there's a play where in order to, we continue to have to go for it on fourth down to even get anything, much more than previous years. And then there's another play where everybody has 3.5 yard hitches. And so if the timing of the first one he looks at is off, basically you've taken away all of the other passes because they're all hitching at the same time. Like, that's a play built to be a disaster. You have now given, instead of three or four options, one option. One. So if in the few plays where you try to do something that's totally ad hoc and totally street ball, the guys screw up and drop a pass, like Rashi dropped one and Travis dropped one, then your chance of success is near zero. It's really bad. The Chiefs are a bad football team on the offensive side and has been bad for a while. Like, they look no more complex than like the Giants team, except for the couple of moments here and there where they do. The culture has shrunk, and the problem is the memory of the culture of being detail-oriented, of coaching up bad play, coaching up details, coaching up small mistakes by your superstars. It's gone away. It clearly has, or your offense would work. I guarantee you also that in successful years, there is zero chance. I don't mean statistically zero. I mean zero. That Patrick's rating against one versus the other, zone versus man, is a difference of 18, you know, second to 20 or first to 19th and so on. Just not true. And I get that we lost Tyreek, and I still say Tyreek is a generational player that should be celebrated for how he maximized his skills versus, you know, considering his deficits of size. But we still got guys, man. We don't just have a bunch of scrubs and wide receiver. I get that our offensive line was nicked up today. But again, where are your quick throws? Since when did the Dallas Cowboys defensive backs, who are a literal laughing stock at the beginning of the year, become the Denver Broncos? How does that make sense to you? That Patrick can't even get off a pass on 4 out of 5. that he then has to scramble around and look for something. Does that make sense to you? It should not. So what it means is the play calling is awful. And the sooner we understand, like we understood, what, after the first year of Patrick, where we couldn't stop anybody, that you can't just line up in a simplistic way and ignore the fact that the sport is the chess of sports when it comes to strategy, and just go, may the best man win. Let's just haul off and slug each other. After we realize that we can't do that, defenses must confuse offenses, fire Bob Sutton, and we did. Now we've got to start saying about that about the offense. Where is the quick motion that confuses people? I haven't seen the quick motion that's supposed to both identify coverage and then also just worry about a super fast dude screaming across the field. I haven't seen that committed speed motion in weeks, let alone a heavy dose of it. Not good, bro. The Chiefs are really, really bad. And I can only hope that it means either immediately, now that they go, oh, we literally can't lose any games after this big run of AFC championships, we're not even going to make it to the playoffs. Either I can hope that somehow they just start turning it around immediately, but I don't really want that because then Matt Nagy might not get fired. But yeah, I can hope that all of a sudden they play like they're supposed to. And then because I've posted this out into the ether, people go, oh, no, I see when you're playing like shit, and it's a clear difference in strategy as when you don't. I can see when all of a sudden Patrick can operate from the pocket like an actual professional fucking football player and get off passes that are successful across the middle, successful straight downfield, and so on. When's the last time that you saw Patrick Mahomes have any success? This is a classic. Remember how Jimmy Garoppolo, who's not a good quarterback, but in the right system could look like, yeah, you can win with this guy. Like literally took somebody to the Super took the Niners to the Super Bowl and lost. Okay. His bread and butter was over the middle. And not just like, kind of a dump off to Travis, who turned around after 7 yards over the middle. That's not what I mean. Like, people in stride over the middle. Garoppolo can do that. When's the last time you saw Patrick do that? Just on a skinny post in the middle. So the guy has gotten his little bit of clearance for Patrick to throw to, left to right or right to left. His, you know, the guy's right shoulder is ahead of the defensive back by about a half yard. And so Patrick knows he can lead him to the left a little bit more, and the guy can run into it. When's the last time you saw a bunch of nice skinny posts in the middle just butchering people with Patrick Mahomes doing it? It's been a while, bro. So my concern is the detail-oriented aspect of the Bieniemy years has gone further and further into the background and the history of this culture. And they just don't have it anymore. It's now like lost knowledge. Okay, in the building, the detail, the aspects of what works and what to do, as opposed to, well, maybe we can make something happen. This is a maybe we can make something happen this drive offense. It is not a relentless machine. It is not a boom, 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 boom. It's no wonder Denver looks better. Bo Nix looks better. Almost every quarterback in the league has a better long ball than Patrick Mahomes right now. That's a him problem too, but that goes to the point of, hey, coach up even the superstars and get the details right. Okay, we are near where Philadelphia was with, they're just not hearing him in the room anymore. It's a voice that's just no longer heard. And I'm not saying fire Andy, But it wouldn't be the worst thing. They would never fire Andy. He's too venerable. Unless he's bad again for another three. It will take 3 years for them to even consider firing Andy. And it might take next year if we're only 500. Maybe just this year and another year, not a third year. But what you can do easily is get rid of the offensive coordinator. Easily. And everybody, because people don't think with their brains. Humans do not think. Well, guy, you can't bring Bieniemy back. Why? We brought Nagy back and he sucked. Okay? He had one good year because Alex Smith could throw downfield for once because he trusted Tyreek because of all the margin. Tyreek Hill got Matt Nagy that job, plain and simple. Alex Smith had never been as dynamic before and never was again. So, yeah, that amount of dynamicism is as out of this team. It's not there anymore. And Matt is not ever going to get him there. The memory of, there's a book I like called The Memory of Running, about the memory of passing, like this, I remember that. I remember when things were, I need you to meditate. I need you to meditate and think of a day back and make it a Sunday in the fall of 2022. I want you to think through that. I want you to think back. I want you to smell the stadium. I want you to hear the sounds. I want you to hear the roar. I want you to see some of your, do you remember? A memory of passing. A memory of passing. It's gone, bro. The details aren't there. And it's funny, too, because I just heard Andy voice a commemoration. They did all these commemorations to John Madden because of how much he loved, you know, Thanksgiving football and how much it was kind of just a venerable moment of when we loved our broadcasting team instead of just trying to diss on them all the time. I love John Madden and, you know, just a commemoration of him. And Andy got to voice that. And either he or another person said, you know, it was about detail. He just loved getting into the detail. Okay, either through enforcement, through insistence, that the lack thereof, or through an inability to get into the detail, Matt Nagy's failing. The Matt Nagy and Andy Reid combo has been failing and worse since Bieniemy left. They just don't have it. And to close again, you go look at that game and last game and see how many times Patrick went to throw and just said, there's nothing here. And you can just say, all of a sudden, Patrick's lost it. And you can say that, but even if you say that, what is a contributing factor? Part of the contributing factor is that the offense is not working. And then you could say it's compounded now as confidence is totally in the dust, like the Grim Reaper is. The Grim Reaper came and got the Grim Reaper. You can say, well, Brittany, are you ignoring him too much? Does he not have confidence? I mean, oh, man, we ain't trying to get too non-classy, but you know what I mean? Like that family's too busy, got all those kids, and now ain't no time for him to feel more manly, if you know what I mean. But you have not seen Patrick look as unconfident in the pocket. Ever. And moment to moment, it gets worse. Okay. The overwhelming trend. Now, remember on stats, you kind of have a trend line. Not every dot matters as you're going left or right on the chart, but the trend does matter. And the trend is only going down in the last 3 years. And literally in this year, short the spike with Rashee. That's it. Short the spike when Rashee started again. The trend line has gone down. So it was going down at the beginning and looked pretty awful week one. Week two, pretty awful. And then a little better somewhere in there. But now those two didn't do enough to make the trend line specifically spike back up again. And then we got worse and worse. So it's what it is. The season's over. The only difference is, I can't remember if I said this in this podcast or when I had another podcast where I was a little bit too ranty and angry and I got rid of it. If that recording, I said it. But we can just watch the next game. Yeah, I started to say it here. Just to, yeah, bonus, see what happens. Maybe they get better. And the only other bonus is, if the bonuses keep happening, what, we want another one? What, we don't want another one? What, we want another one? The only chance that we win five in a row is if they play entirely different. And therefore, that's its own victory. I mean, that is, one must go with the other. If we play entirely different, we are literally Super Bowl contenders. And the only way we get to the playoffs is if we play entirely different. Because you cannot win five in a row if you don't play entirely different. You just lost three out of four in must-have games. So that's the only thing. Now you can just kind of play for, hey, the bonus of if we bother to play worth a shit. And if we don't, well, I mean, we don't expect them to play worth a shit because they haven't been playing worth a shit. So that'll be interesting. It'll be a lot more just, let's just see what plays out. This will be interesting. More like a fan base is just hoping the team starts to do well again. The fan base that can just kind of see the game one game at a time and not be so disappointed and the would-bes and the could-bes. You know, there are many fan bases who can't say, well, how the hell did we go 15-2 last year, make it to the Super Bowl? Now we definitely are better, and we can't go 500. You know, most fan bases don't have that burden. Hey, it's a great burden to have, right? It's a great burden. How the hell did you go 15-2 last year? Go fuck yourself, Chiefs fans. I'm not saying it's not a first world problem. What I'm saying is it is taken away from the ability to just kind of enjoy maybe a standalone victory for what it is in standalone plays. We haven't been there in a while since the Alex Smith days. In Alex Smith days, those of us who are mature, if amateur, analysts of football, you know, since then, we can't just cheer on the fact that it's a 25-yarder when we can see the broader picture where the offensive drive, well, if that's a 25-yarder, that's great, but the last three looked horrible, and I can tell what they're doing on offense, and it's shit. Okay, we can now go back to, as Chiefs fans, awesome, we got a 30-yard play. Maybe we can beat this team. And that's not so bad. And also, what you can also do is just be a little bit less invested and, you know, maybe get more done on Sundays. Maybe just listen on the radio. You know, Mitch has a great call, right? Mitch and Danon have a great call. Maybe you can just do that. Be running around and have your headphones in. Guys, can I, by the way, just recommend enough? I can't. Just going and getting a nice little weather radio that has AM and FM. I've got like a, oh, geez, what is the brand? I'm even going to go walk to tell you because I like it enough. It is a, what brand is this? Kind of a heavy duty. You'd think of it as a weather radio brand. Midland. Even has a little antenna you can extend, but it has something you can put on your belt, put in your pocket. And that way you don't have to worry about, you know, Wi-Fi and behind, you know, where do I get the broadcast? Because the broadcast is there for most of you in Chiefs Kingdom. Just get your little Midland AM/FM radio. I got it at one of the home stores. Can't remember if it was Menards or Home Depot or whatever it might be, Lowe's. But I got it at one of those. And then you can just not just listen in your car. I know most of us don't have good AM reception in our house because we have too many damn electrical signals everywhere. But, you know, a lot of times the broadcasts are on FM. So if you do have like a nice separate speaker, I know when I got a Bluetooth speaker, I got a big one. It's not great like audio quality, but it's plenty loud. It'll come in on the FM station. So you can just do some things done while listening. You don't have to be quite as invested, and then you kind of hope, and if they win, they win. Not the worst thing. It'll be interesting, but like I said, the season, we said for 3-4 weeks, because all the games are important, that they're important, and we can only win 1 out of 4, which tells you it's losing ball. There's a reason that once we started to sniff, no, we're back in it, we started to do poorly because we're playing bad football. That's the plain and simple truth of it. Even when our defense, short today, is near heroic, but I put no blame on them today because CeeDee Lamb and Pickens are carving up everybody. So you can't expect them to stop everybody. You just can't. So anyway, it'll be interesting. Juwan Taylor was out today. I haven't really looked at the stats because the stats don't matter. At this point, it's the eye test. And when Patrick can't even get a pass off without having to wait an extra second or second and a half, and or has to scramble or bail, the eye test has failed. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.